go away and never come back.
Because if you got all your eggs in one basket, though, I mean, this just makes sense when I read what this means. If you drop your basket and you got all your eggs in there, you're liable to lose all of them.
And they call that cracking your nest egg.
And you don't want to do that because that's what ensures that you're going to have money when you retire.
You know, old Humpty Dumpty, he thought he could be put back together again.
And they had a big old omelet that day, I think.
They had a big omelet. You don't want your nest egg to turn into a huge fried omelet.
No.
Somebody else is eating your goodie. In other words, we've talked about what the stock market is. The stock market is, in my opinion, nothing but hot air.
Really?
Sort of like this balloon we're floating up in here with.
It's not real tangible when you think about it.
No. Until you actually get somewhere with it, in other words, get money out of it, and it's just like until we actually get back on the ground with this thing that you've got up here in the air, I'm not going to feel safe.
Well, if you'll feel better, I'll untie some, we'll land over here somewhere, okay?
Yeah,
okay.
You want a soft landing.
Yeah, we definitely want a soft landing. And what you need to do, if you're up in the air, get out on the ground and dial 334-279-7431 and talk to David Ernest. And David, we're going to have to get off here so I can land this thing.
Okay.
So we're going to call it a day here today, and we'll be back again with another adventure in health and wealth with David Ernest. Thanks for joining us. See you next time. And I think my upper plate come out.
Uh-oh.
See you next time.
Discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify it because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power introducing the new Hustler Dash. At only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards. And starting at only $21.99 or payments as low as $50 a month, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact, affordable zero-turn on the market today. And when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase. And for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower while yours is in our service department. Well, with service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
Rich Thomas Weather. Hi, everybody. It's starting to sound like a broken record type of forecast. I know, with the threat of thunderstorms continuing for the lucky communities here and there scattered around the area. Overnight low temperature 75. Not much change tomorrow. There'll be some scattered storms around with the best coverage in the afternoon and evening hours. High 93, triple-digit heat indices. Then some widely scattered, widely separated storms as we get to Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the low to mid-90s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
With ASA Credit Union's free Kasasa cash checking account, you can earn 4% APY on balances up to $30,000. Qualifications and rules apply. See an ASE rep for more details. Federally insured by NCUA. Online at yourasecu.com. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
And now, from the plush, dimly lit Blue Water Broadcasting Studios, high atop the glorious Budell Building in hysterical Montgomery, Alabama, the capital of dreams. Hey, it's on our trash cans. It's time once again for the River Region's only program dedicated to the seeking of truth, no matter what it uncovers or who it may implicate. Yes, dear listener, once again, it's time for the weeknight edition of Clearing the Air. And as always, I am your intrepid host, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, a man dealing with a mind and body infested with the progressive bioweapon, the powers that shouldn't be, called Morgellons. My name's Terry Adams. Welcome to the program. Now, this is the weeknight edition, the companion program to the original Clearing the Air that's on every Saturday night. Me and the incomparable postman from 6 till 9 on this very station. Okay, here's where it gets real. Do not believe anything you hear on this or any other program, because you must learn, number one, to trust your own instincts, and number two, do your own research, come to your own understanding of what's true and what isn't. Remember that your perception of the world around you, that's your reality, which is why the powers that shouldn't be have become experts in what's called perception management. Don't let them manage your perceptions. Yesterday was a day I would rather forget, a day not unlike the ever-increasing number of bad days I seem to be not enjoying on a regular basis. As you all know, I spent a few days out of town in order to reset my mental state of mind. Now, I must admit that it did seem to improve my attitude, at least until I went out to the shop yesterday. As you also know, I've been cleaning out my area so we can have more room for technicians to do what technicians do. Now, remember, I have 23 years worth of accumulated stuff that I've got to either throw away, box up, move it to the newly rented storage facility. I got to do something with it. Well, one of those treasures that I had was a trampoline. Now, I acquired it, as I do many of my projects, from the aforementioned storage facility. It was a complete 12-foot diameter trampoline, complete with the uprights. The only thing missing were the springs, which I had begun accumulating since finding this thing like a year or so ago. I probably had enough to assemble it, but we will never know because it's gone. Apparently, the boys at the shop sold the metal frame with the scrap metal and threw the pad away. Needless to say, I was livid. I lost it in a very big way. I don't understand how anyone could look at 6 5-foot-long pre-curved sections of pipe, identical, complete with T-joints and set screws to hold the legs on. How could anybody look at that and think that it's just scrap metal? Of course, I'll find out in the morning when we all return to work, but I already know what the response is going to be when I ask. No one will know anything, and if they do, then if they do happen to admit taking it off, they'll claim that they simply didn't know what it was, and they certainly didn't know it was mine. I've gotten used to this over 23 years. So this trash treasure will join all the other trash treasures of mine that throughout the years managed to walk away, never to be seen again. And it's stuff like this that's pushed me away from the shop. Because after having meeting after meeting after meeting addressing the same issues every time, yet within a couple of days, everything, and what's infinitely worse, everyone reverts back to the behavior that started the problem that made us have a meeting to begin with. It's such a waste of energy, energy that I no longer have in abundance, energy that I can no longer afford to waste. So after my temper tantrum, I picked up some stuff and I tried to get something constructive done. And then, of course, I lock up, turn on the alarm, and head home. Well, what was once known as Formula One, but what now I call the Lewis Hamilton Wins Again Race Series, well, they're in France, so I had recorded it on the DVR, so I sat down to watch it. Well, I might as well have watched the race before or the one before it, because Lewis Hamilton won again. Him and his mighty AMG Mercedes. And don't get me wrong, I love Mercedes. I drive an AMG, but this racing is no longer any fun to watch. It's no longer competitive. Another AMG Mercedes 1-2 yawn. You know, back when Sebastian Vettel and his dominant Red Bull was on a roll and he won 4 world championships, all the other teams screamed bloody murder, and then the FIA, the governing body of Formula One, changed the engine specifications, thereby ending the dominance of the Red Bull and their Renault V8. Well, after 5 years of the Mercedes dominance, isn't it about time to change it again? It's only fair. However, the reason I'm bringing this up on this show is I think there's something else at play here. The powers that shouldn't be, perhaps, someone wanting a Brit, Lewis Hamilton in particular, because it just so happens that he's a tatted-up, half-black, spoiled brat, crybaby hypocrite, who, at the pace he's winning, could become the winningest driver in F1, which would mean he would surpass the legend, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed German, Michael Schumacher. Yeah, here we go again. The Brits versus the Germans. Going at it again. Would they do something like this? You better believe it. Look at how Hamilton's dominance came about in the most improbable way. He was driving for McLaren. At the time, they were second only to the Red Bull in terms of being a car that someone could win in. In 2013, he inexplicably leaves that team, a top-finishing team, to join AMG Mercedes Petronas, which was a mid-pack team at best. In the next year, the aforementioned changes are mandated, and Mercedes seems to have an unbeatable power plant waiting in the wings. What are the chances? Meanwhile, in the Red Bull garage, the Renault V6 is a massive disappointment, which they didn't win a race. It was terrible. Something's rotten in Denmark here, folks. And now the other teams are starting to complain because official tire supplier Pirelli changed the tire compounds for 2019 when no team was complaining other than AMG. Interestingly enough, this year's new tires, now all the teams are complaining except AMG because all the teams are having major issues. They can't get them up to temperature. They won't grip except Mercedes. And it's weird because Mercedes made the exact changes needed in their aerodynamics to make the tires more downforce to make them stick. What are the chances? Well, that's enough for cars, flying or not, for now. Let's move on. Back to me in the shop. So when I get home, I go to sleep. When I wake up, Lynn's already gone to the shop to do payroll. So I hop in my car and I drive out there to be with her. When I walk in, she tells me that, number one, I had left the roll-up door open in the warehouse. And number two, I had not set the alarm. Do, huh? I've been doing this for 23 years. I have never, ever forgotten to set the alarm. Nor can it be set if a door's left open. It cannot be done. So what's going on here? When the code's punched in the alarm console, it starts to beep. What you do is you punch the code in and you go to the door. And you can hear it beeping as you're walking to the door. It's like a steady beep a second. And then as it starts to, the 30 seconds starts to go away, the beeps get quicker, they intensifies. It's hard not to hear, and I'd like to think that if I had not heard it that morning, I would have recognized that the alarm wasn't on. I don't understand. But later that day, we had another alarm, this time a motion detector inside our building. To say it brings back bad memories is a massive understatement. So I grab my Glock, I jump in my car, and I run back. Nothing. I go back on the system and look. Nothing. Nothing could have set that off. I go home. Another alarm. This one's outside. So once again, I go back, look back at the system. Nothing there. That was yesterday. Today, it happened three times. Once, while the little short mean woman and I were at the movies, we watched The Secret Life of Pets 2. Great movie. Nothing New World Order-ish at all about it. An actual man and woman got married. Not two men, not two women. It's amazing. They had a child, too, after they had been married. That's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, there's a lot of weird stuff going on around me, and I'm not just the only one. I mentioned this Saturday night, and all of this just might tie in together somehow. And what I'm talking about is how I seem to be able to overlook things when they're right in front of me. Well, actually, us, because it's happening to my mother, it's happening to my wife, it's happening to both Postman and Jason. And I would love to know if it's happening to any of you. Now, what I'm talking about is, let me give you an example. I needed some super glue. Now, I have super glue. I have a lot of super glue. Well, I'd been seeing a brand new tube sitting on the table beside where I sit my laptop. It's resting on top of a stack of Excellence. It's a Porsche magazine. I had a whole stack of them. I remember seeing it. Just that morning, I remember seeing it. However, when I need it and I go to get it, it's not there. I look and I look. I crawl under the table with a flashlight looking for it. It's not there. I look behind the couch. I look everywhere. Nowhere to be found. So finally, after a couple of hours, I give up, only to walk back in the den and see it resting right where I thought it was on top of those magazines. And I swear to you, it was not there earlier. What is going on? How's this possible? Is Postman right? Was its signature temporarily erased from the program that runs this virtual simulation that we call life, only to be reinserted a few moments later? Was it blinking in and out of this virtual reality we're living in? Has someone other than the one appointed by the creator to run this sim cracked the codes and gone in through some kind of back door, and they're manipulating this program we call life? I mean, look, if this were only me going through this, then we could legitimately chalk it up to whatever's happening to me and happening in me, but it's not just me. Something's going on, and I'd love to know what it is. And then again, maybe I asked too many questions. Okay, I'm going to read you this article. It was on News with Views, not News and Views, not Barron Show, but this is on the website Ms. Connie turned me on to. Trump's gunning for the neocons and the Israel firsters just as they are literally gunning for him. Having watched nearly 3 years of Donald Trump working, haltingly but stubbornly, to reestablish the great and republic-preserving pillars of American foreign policy, non-intervention and neutrality, it is clear that the trail towards those goals is long and winding and, far too often, a process that yields two steps forward and one step back. It was most encouraging to see Trump let the neocons, especially Bolton, Abrams, Pompeo, and such of their mouthpieces as Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, and Bill Kristol, make perfect jackasses of themselves via the botched handling of the None of America's Business Venezuela problem. These wretches thereby showed Americans how desperate they are for war and how utterly useless they are in the conduct of a U.S. foreign policy that serves the Republic's only genuine foreign policy goals, peace. Few, if any, foreign political and or military entanglements, a deterring military capable in mind, skills, and material of total victory in the rare cases that demand war. Freedom of the seas for trade and prosperity and the maintenance of full sovereignty and independence of action. The neocons made a humiliating hash of Venezuela, achieving nothing but failure in driving the two socialist enemies, Guaido and Maduro, into each other's arms for talks in the convivial atmosphere of Scandinavia, safely away from the suffering both have inflicted on Colombians with their socialist economic policies and their attendant rule. The living conditions of the latter clearly were worsened by the bumbling of Bolton, Abrams, and Pompeo. Trump just might as well have assigned their job to the Marx Brothers and could have expected better results from a Groucho-led effort. I thought that was funny since the Marx Brothers were freaking hilarious, especially Groucho. Over the past 3 weeks, however, my sense was that the Trump administration was going to take the one step backwards mentioned above on the issue of America's now 40-year-old, unnecessary, on-again, off-again, quasi-war with Iran. The drama came to a head last week when the Iranians were identified as the entity that shot down an unmanned U.S. military drone that reportedly was flying over international waters. Now, per media reporting, President Trump on Friday approved a limited military response against Iranian missile and radar sites, but then stopped the operation about 30 minutes before it was to occur. Earlier in the day, the media showed film of Pelosi and Schumer nearly dancing with joy after the president told them of the attack plan, probably in anticipation of large monetary bonuses from their Israeli masters, an expensive war they could blame on Trump, and the shelving of growing public and conservative media interest in Obama's corrupt deal with Iran, which eventually would put him, Valerie Jarrett, Ben Rhodes, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and the State Department team, and a number of U.S. general and intelligence officers in prison, are far better on the gallows. Sorry, sir, it will never happen. Trump's stated reason for stopping the strike, too many Iranians would have been killed in revenge for a crashed unmanned drone, is fair enough and hard to criticize, especially for those neocons and another of their spokesmen, Chris Wallace of Fox News. As readers of this space know, I am relatively unconcerned by any number of foreign casualties if the U.S. military is ordered to respond to an attack that killed Americans, and so long as that response is meant to be an overwhelmingly decisive to end the confrontation strike, not to begin a decades-long, tit-for-tat, inconclusive, blood-and-treasury-draining conflict. Amen! Can you say Vietnam? Trump's correct decision to stop the airstrike, however, will not end the issue with Iran. Indeed, one can wonder if the president is not giving the neocons and the Israel firsters enough rope to hang themselves. Clearly, the recent limpet mine attacks on oil tankers in the Persian Gulf and the shoot-down of the drone were attacks produced by the Republic's above-named worst domestic enemies, as well as Israel's military and intelligence operatives and, most maddeningly, members of the U.S. military and intelligence services and almost certainly their human assets in the Gulf and Iran. Yes, I agree. Trump and his team, I suspect, have laid out the bait for a trap that could be the finale of this edition of the Iran war, and perhaps a start towards the end of it all. The president said that it was not appropriate to kill 150 Iranians because an unmanned drone was shot down, adding that the loss of U.S. military personnel in the attack would have produced an entirely different kettle of fish. I wonder if he really said kettle of fish. Anyway, these words are high-stakes stuff, as they clearly are meant to suggest that Trump would have attacked Iran had the attack by the Republic's domestic and foreign enemies on the U.S. military actually killed U.S. Marines, soldiers, or airmen. Well, I think that's fair. Given that people like Bolton, Shapiro, Levin, Abrams, and Crystal do not give a tinker's cuss about how many Americans... die in defense of Israel's interests, there certainly will be another attack meant to kill U.S. military personnel, and it will probably happen soon. Write that down, folks. There is also the chance, of course, that those who staged the attack on the drone, they simply skip a second attack meant to kill American troops and instead try to murder President Trump. If Trump is running the sort of operation that I just speculated about, he should be saluted, supported, and prayed for. It is a very sophisticated operation, one lethally dangerous to those tasked with its execution, and one that requires superb intelligence and near-perfect timing. It is, in the strongest possible sense, an America-first policy, one that would expose U.S. citizen traitors and facilitate the quick purge of Obama appointees from the U.S. military, diplomatic, and intelligence services. Most importantly, a Trump victory would first luridly disclose and then destroy the deep, war-causing, corruption-driven, and paid for by wealthy Jewish Americans, their organizations, and their overseas friends, and publicized by their legion of media shills. A Trump win also would put on public display for flaying those men and women who have been purchased to champion pro-Israeli policies and make them the law of the land, both de jure and de facto, a cast that stars almost 535 bought and paid for senators and congressmen and their large supporting cast of intelligence directors, general officers, and senior civil servants. If that happy result occurs, what more need be said than sic semper tyrannis, or a bit more coarsely, string them up? I know I didn't read that very well, and I couldn't pronounce a word, but you understand what he's saying? That maybe this Trump is setting these people up. Well, I got to tell you something. Today, I read where Trump, you know, we were supposed to be rounding up the illegals. And then I read that Trump has delayed the illegal roundup for 2 weeks because Pelosi asked him to. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? This POS who has been attacking you since day one, who's tried to impeach you, who's called you every name under the sun, ask you to delay kicking these illegal people out of our country, and you said yes? What the hell is going on with you, Donald Trump? What do you think these people are doing? What do you think they're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks? That's like the media reporting, well, we're going to attack Iran, but we're going to wait 2 weeks. You don't ever tell them that. You don't ever tell these people, well, we're going to delay rounding and catching you for 2 weeks. What the hell you think they're going to do? You think they're going to sit where they are right now, twiddling their thumbs, going, well, we can only be here 2 more weeks, folks? No, they're going to go find somewhere else to hide. They're going to be that much harder, if not next to impossible, to find now. What are you people thinking? And then I read, let me go to this story. This just blew me away. I could not believe this, that the guy who's the acting Homeland Security Secretary, Kevin McAleenan, I guess that's his name, they're saying that he is sabotaging the Trump administration officials by leaking the plan by the White House for ICE to arrest these migrant families. He's the one that broke the story about the raids. He's supposed to be on our side. This is... what the hell is going on? Our own government is facilitating the destruction of our country. Our own government is destroying the sovereignty of America. God, please tell me, folks, you see this. I'm not crazy. I know what I see, and I know what's going on. How could you not see this? Our own government, traitors within our own government. And I got to tell you, there's more traitors than there are patriots. How can this be allowed to go on? The problem we have is, who do we go to? Who do we complain to? They're all in on it. We're headed towards, if we want to save America, we're headed towards a revolution. We're headed towards a civil war. And I have never, ever advocated violence on this show, ever. And I'm not doing that now. But I don't see any other way. The problem is they know there's going to be a point of critical mass. They know at some point enough people are going to wake up and we're going to try to take America back, and they're ready for it. You remember those 7 billion 9mm hollow point bullets they ordered a couple of years ago? What do you think they're for? You can't use them in war. What do you think they're for? Gee, who carries 9mm pistols? Pretty much all of the government departments do now. They've all been armed. Who do you think they're going to be shooting at? Us. Anyone who tries to take their country back is going to be shot. It's coming, folks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is so obvious. Surely you already knew this. Surely you already saw this. You had to have seen this coming. This is unbelievable. Everything that's happening in this country is so anti-God and so pro-satanic. Now, why is that? Because Luciferian psychopaths are running this world. They're running this country. That's for damn sure. In Washington, a group of Christians wanted to have a demonstration march because they were having drag queen story hour at the library. Well, they were not allowed to go on the side of the library. They had to go across the street. Yet they let some of the pro-drag queen story hour people demonstrate over there by the library, but the Christians had to go to the other side of the street. And by the way, they arrested the pastor and jailed him because he said, wait a minute, why? We got to go across the street. And they said, you can't ask that question. You're under arrest. Put him in jail. This is just the beginning. It's going to get so much worse. So much worse. The media is weaponized, folks. If anybody, any other talk show host, anybody tells you that the media is just a little confused or just a little biased, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. The media has been weaponized. It is totally controlled. It is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the left, by the Luciferian psychopaths, call them liberal progressives, whatever you want, whatever term you choose, it doesn't matter. They're Luciferian psychopaths. That's what they are. They own the media, thanks to Bill Clinton, who got rid of all those regulations about who could own, you could only own so many stations. Bill Clinton, that's how he got his, that's how he paid back the deep state for getting him in the office of the presidency. He set the stage for 6 families to own 95% of everything you listen to, everything you read, anything considered, quote, news is controlled by 6 families. 95% of it is, which is why I love Blue Water. We're independent. We can say anything we want as long as it's within FCC rules. We can't say the S word or some of the other stuff, but I've never been told, Terry, you can't talk about Masons. Terry, you can't talk about this. You can't talk. Nobody's ever said a word to me like that. You think that happens on Cumulus and these other ones? Uh-uh. I would never be able to say the things I say on those other stations. And thank you, Mr. Rick Peters, for being a patriot. Thank you for allowing me to be a patriot. Thank you for everything you've done for me and for your country by allowing me to spread the news. Thank you. I don't think you understand the role you're playing in this, Rick. You're playing a very important role. You really are. Thank you. Okay. A lot to talk about tonight. I'm so frustrated. I'm frustrated with people. Nobody. Before I hit my break, just remember this. Just remember what I've said so many times. Just as it happened in ancient Israel, it's happening here in America. When God was worshipped, all the deviant behavior was hidden back in the shadows, away from the light. However, once they kicked God out, the void was immediately filled with Baal, say Satan, worship, and all that had been hidden back in the shadows came out. Not only was it accepted by the citizens, these abominations before God, and that's all caps, became mandated. Mandated. Think about that. Is that not exactly what's happening in America? Look what happens when you say, I'm not baking a cake for you two homosexuals. I refuse. You're the one that gets in trouble. Look at what's happening. Everything has changed 180 degrees away, diametrically opposed from godly things. Everything, all the abominations before God are being pushed. Here we go, folks. Buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. This is Clearing the Air, and I will be back to you in, I don't know,